In its quest to provide an open forum for discussion of controversial issues, this station allows hosts and their guests to express themselves without any significant censorship. You're advised that any views expressed by the hosts or their guests are not necessarily the views of Tug Entertainment or its partners.
Welcome to Officer Radio, powered by the worldwide resources of Officer.com. And hosted by editor-in-chief of Officer.com and 30-year law enforcement veteran Frank Borelli. Officer Radio is your source for the latest news, trends, and issues facing the law enforcement community. Join us each week as Officer Borelli and his guest examine, dissect, and discuss the issues facing our industry. Call in live and join the conversation to get your voice heard. Now, let's get to it. It's Officer Radio, live with Frank Borelli on Officer.com.
Good day. Welcome to Officer Radio, brought to you by Officer.com. I'd like to offer special thanks today to Peace Officer Ministries and their Executive Director, Reverend Frank Raffato, for taking time to support our show. We're going to hear a little bit more about both of them in a moment. I'm your host, editor for Officer.com, Frank Borelli. Today, we'll be talking about quite a few topics. We're going to start out with some information about the upcoming inaugural Officer World event being held May 13th and 14th at the Ronald Reagan Building and International Trade Center in Washington, D.C., and that's kind of a mouthful, so I'm just going to call it the Ronald Reagan Building from here on. After our first break, we're going to be joined by Reverend Frank Raffato. Frank's a retired homicide detective now serving the law enforcement community as a police chaplain. Reverend Raffato is also the executive director of Peace Officer Ministries, and he, along with several other chaplains from Police Officer Ministries, responded down to Sanford, Florida during those trying couple of weeks after the Zimmerman-Martin incident. And if you don't know what I'm talking about when I talk about George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin, thank you for not having watched any of the mainstream media for the last, 2 months almost. They don't seem to be able to have a news break without mentioning it. But a few people consider or realize the pressure and stress such a high-profile event can cause to an agency and everyone that serves that agency or is connected to that agency. That microscopic examination of every little thing that any person does to see if it can be sensationalized or twisted for a quote-unquote news purpose creates a quite a high-stress environment, and Frank and some of the other police chaplains went down there to see if they could help out. He's going to share some of that information, the experiences that he had. And then we're going to talk with Frank about police chaplaincy in general, the services that they provide, and the requirements to become one. Some of you listening to this will laugh really hard when I say this, but at one point, I almost became a police chaplain. I decided I was not suitably fit to do that. Maybe that'll be part of the conversation later on in the show, but I didn't feel Frank Borelli had any place being a chaplain, although I did consider it when it was requested of me. Now, throughout the show, we'll be taking calls from our listeners. The number to dial is 866-404-6519. That's 866-404-6519. If you have a comment, question, observation, or other thought to share, please don't hesitate to dial me up. Now, having said that, we're going to be talking about Zimmerman and Martin in Sanford, Florida. Please don't call just to bash Zimmerman or Martin. Please don't call to attack the job that the Sanford Police Department did or didn't do, in your opinion. Please don't call to talk about the special prosecutor, the judge, her husband, yada yada, ad nauseum. I'm not going to try the Zimmerman-Martin case on the air. My outlook on this from the beginning is we need to let the justice system work. Whether people are happy with our justice system or not in the United States of America, at the federal, state, county, or municipal level, I happen to believe, agree or disagree with me, but I happen to believe that we have the best, most impartial, and fair justice system existence in the world today. I think that the news media should stick to reporting facts, not twist them as has been so obviously done, not sensationalize them to up their advertising dollars. I think they need to stick to reporting facts and let the justice system decide guilt and innocence. That certainly has not been done in Sanford, Florida. I'm not going to have to take phone calls from and have discussions with people who want to debate guilt or innocence, blame, or any of the rest of that stuff. If you want to call and talk about the chaplain services, the stress created by high-profile incidents such as these, how police officers cope with it, supporting the community, the law enforcement community, glad to talk to you. Dial me up. The number is 866-404-6519. Today's show, like all of them, will be archived on the Officer.com radio page as well as our podcast page. If you don't know how to find the radio page, we have a problem, because if you're listening to this live, you're on the radio page. The podcast page is reached through – it's the link right next to the radio page on that secondary navigation bar up top of your website. You might want to bookmark the podcast page. Some of our shows, I like to think all of our shows can serve as good reference material, but some of them are more educational than others, and they definitely serve as good reference material to be cited down the road. Come back to, share with your cohorts, your coworkers, supporters, friends, family, so forth. The archive shows are also available on iTunes, so you can search us out there to download them. What you do is go to our podcast page, find the topic and the date, and then you go to the iTunes page and you find the date, because that's how it's listed on iTunes, just by the date. It doesn't have the topic material listed. Hopefully, as you know, this is actually factual material. Hopefully you know it. Officer.com has a Facebook fan page and a Twitter feed. Our Facebook fan page grows by several dozen people every day. Please do come and like us on Facebook. Join that community. Get news updates and editorial updates via Facebook if you choose. We do update that every day of the week, even on holidays. Yep, it's a 24/7, 365 kind of thing. And Twitter is the same way. We do post our news updates and our editorial updates and other tidbits of information we feel are vital on Twitter. Not only do we appreciate the interaction that we get with our followers, both on Facebook and Twitter, but if you follow us on Facebook and Twitter, it allows us to serve your information needs in a way that's more convenient for you. And that is, after all, what we're supposed to be here for, is to share information of value to the law enforcement community and its supporters, the industry that's built around it, in a timely and convenient fashion. So obviously, if you want to come to the officer.com website, that's convenient. That's great. The navigation is, I think, pretty intuitive for police officers. It's in the shape of a virtual police department. You have your different bureaus and your different subsections in those bureaus. Pretty easy to do, follow along with. If Twitter is your thing, follow us on Twitter. Get your news connections and updates that way, your editorial updates that way. If you're one of those people that's on Facebook from sunup to sundown, or from the time you get up to the time you go to bed, then follow us on Facebook and get your links and your updates and stuff through there, whatever works best for you. Now, before Reverend Frank comes to join us, let's talk about Officer World for a moment. I am proud to announce that Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman is going to be our keynote speaker on May 13th at about 12:30 in the Ronald Reagan Building. Lieutenant Colonel Grossman is a well-known, highly respected individual in the law enforcement and military communities. He's a Pulitzer Prize winning author of On Killing and also wrote On Combat. He's done some excellent studies on how taking human life impacts us as professionals who find that to be part of their job. I know Dave Grossman personally. I am honored to call him a friend. He wrote the foreword for my book, American Thinking. Outstanding gentleman. We are delighted to have him as our keynote speaker May 13th at the Ronald Reagan Building. So, Officer World is going to happen May 13th and May 14th. There is free training, that's no-cost training, being offered by the National Sheriff's Association, and we are greatly appreciative to them for bringing their professional level of training and integrity to our event. The National Sheriff's Association will be presenting training on the morning of the 13th and the morning of the 14th, 0800 to noon, both days, 4 hours of training. There will be the training is occurring those two mornings, and then we'll have the exposition, the show floor open. You can see the latest, greatest products and technologies that are out there to help keep you alive. All of the training is geared towards mitigating risk. It's towards increasing officer survival, and it's specifically targeted on some of the threats that we saw in 2011 that cost us so many of our fellow warriors and peacekeepers. It's ambush recognition and avoidance, self-aid, buddy aid for trauma injuries, and how we manage risky calls with the lower levels of manpower that we're all suffering. So we're going to have that training going on. Officer.com will be live streaming the Candlelight Vigil on the 13th at 8 p.m. as we have for the past 3 years. We're honored to do it again. And this year on the 15th at 1100 hours, we're going to be live streaming the memorial service from the West Lawn of the Capitol building. I'd like to thank the D.C. FOP and the National FOP, Fraternal Order of Police, nationally and D.C. They asked us, could we come and do this? We stepped up and said, yes, we can. They've made all the technology logistics a reality so that we can do this. So we're going to be live streaming that memorial service as well. That's May 15th, Tuesday morning, the 15th at 1100 hours Eastern time. Now, both of those you need to pre-register for them, and you can do that via linkage through officer.com. We're glad to be doing this for the community, and we're glad that you tune in to watch it. Now, one more piece of information. Hopefully I can get it out here before we go to break. On the officer.com homepage today, we have the very compelling story of Officer Santos, as told by his wife, Alyssa Santos, and their unique connections and challenges. And the links that provides for their family to the law enforcement memorial. Alyssa Santos has arranged a fundraising event out in Colorado Springs, Colorado. The Sky Sox, a professional baseball organization, are opening up the stadium and holding a fundraising event. I'd like to offer strong kudos to the Santos family, not only for how well they've handled the challenges that they have handled, but how it's made them stronger in the law enforcement community, and almost served as a motivation for them to drive forward supporting the law enforcement community and specifically the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial. So check out officer.com's homepage today for that story. It is a very compelling human interest story. When we come back from break, we will have Reverend Frank Raffato, and we'll be talking about police chaplaincy in Sanford, Florida. Stay tuned. We'll talk to you in just a few seconds.
Want to get your voice heard about law enforcement issues? This is your show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com. And we'll be back with more right after these.
This is Frank Borelli, editor for Officer.com. In May of 2011, a small brown-eyed boy proudly showed off the law enforcement buttons he had pinned to his shirt in honor of his dad, an officer killed in the line of duty 6 years ago. Then the reality set in. This boy was just a few days away from his sixth birthday. He never got the chance to meet his dad, nor did thousands of children whose parents' names are forever etched into the living memorial in Judiciary Square. Join us in 2012 as we launch Officer World Expo in Washington, D.C. in our effort to reduce the intolerably large number of officers who didn't get to go home to their families. OfficerWorldExpo.com, because some records aren't meant to be broken.
Girlfriend It is on TogiNet. Thursdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, with your hosts Patty Wyatt and Lisa Jernigan. This show is your chance to share, learn, laugh, and connect with other women. The Girlfriended principle was born out of loss.
Lisa had recently had her mother pass away from cancer, and my mom was murdered. A man just walking into a room and started a 23-second shooting spree.
I think one of the things we both realized going through those tragedies that you can be extremely okay and be extremely sad.
Check out Girlfriended.com. And then be a part of Girlfriend It, the radio show, Thursdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central.
You know, your boyfriend or your husband or whatever, they don't totally understand that emotional side to a woman like another woman does. And I think that's so important just to have somebody that you go, she gets me.
Check out the website, girlfriendit.com. Don't miss Girlfriend It with Patty Wyatt and Lisa Jernigan, Thursdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central on toginet.com. Welcome back to Officer Radio, powered by the worldwide resources of Officer.com and hosted by Editor-in-Chief of Officer.com, 30-year law enforcement veteran Frank Borelli. Now, let's get back to the show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com.
Good day again, and welcome back to Officer Radio, brought to you by Officer.com. This afternoon, we are joined by Reverend Frank Raffato of Peace Officer Ministries. Frank has been a guest on the show before, but this time he brings us some interesting information and a unique outlook about his experiences as a chaplain down in Sanford, Florida, in the weeks, the days and weeks following the Zimmerman-Martin incident. Now, I would remind listeners, we do have an 800 number you can call in, 866-404-6519. Excuse me, 866-404-6519. As I said earlier, if you're going to call in with criticisms about the case or how it's been handled, or you want to debate guilt or innocence, we'll disconnect the call. If you want to call in and talk about the stresses it created on the police department, the community support that the police department saw, or how chaplains could have supported that or did support that, we're delighted to take your call. Now, with all of that warning thrown out there, good afternoon, Reverend Raffato. How are you, sir?
I am doing well, thank you.
You know, I asked somebody once how they were doing, and you know this guy, Barry Beam, Corporal Beam's favorite answer was, fine, far out, and fantastic.
I know it.
Do it.
I am fine, far out, fantastic.
And if I was doing any better, I'd be committing a crime, and that would be out of character. Are you doing as great as Barry Beam was?
I was. And the other thing he had is, you know, every day is has sunshine. You know, he would have one of those kind of things going on where it was every meal's a feast, every paycheck's a fortune, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know,
I think he said that stuff too. But, you know, he was, and I'm not kissing anybody's butt, but he was my favorite instructor at the academy. He had such unique euphemisms for everything. If you were doing 80 miles an hour, you were going warp 8. And if you had a traffic accident, it was a whoppity boom. And he made the academy somewhat entertaining while some of the other instructors made it, shall we say, less than pleasant.
Yes, yes, indeed. You bring back some good memories for me. That is it.
And for me, too. Now that we've enjoyed that small walk down memory lane, and we'll have to do that again over a cold beer.
Oh, yes.
Let's talk today. Obviously, you're a police chaplain. You're a retired homicide investigator. I'd like to talk to you today about chaplains, the services they provide as one topic, requirements to become chaplains as another topic. But let's start out, if you don't mind, with your experiences. I know you went down to Sanford, Florida after the Zimmerman-Martin thing, and you have some unique outlook and information to share about how this case, like so many other high-profile cases, causes stresses on the police department, and how chaplains can help out if the police departments and the leaderships think to use them. So tell me a little bit about how you ended up down there, who you went with, if you can, and give me the high-level overview of your experiences.
Yeah, this will be a little bit of, you know, the view from 30,000 feet a little bit. Just to sort of back up a little bit, about a year ago, we're approaching, every year we have training in May where we partner with Concordia Seminary out in St. Louis for chaplains, for peace officers, for lay people, for pastors who want to serve the police and that kind of thing. And Reverend Ed DeWitt, who's a Lutheran pastor down there in Sanford, and I will tell you his church is not located in the best of neighborhoods, if you will, and it's not a disparage on anybody down there, just, you know, the reality is a hit in the street kind of thing.
Right.
And he and his congregation do a lot of good work in that community. So he had been to our training. And, you know, a lot of what we do in our training is to help people see the culture of law enforcement. And I liken it to, you know, whatever you feel about faith, Christianity, whatever, to being a missionary in the sense that if you're going to send me down to, say, Nicaragua to be a missionary to some people down there, you're going to expect me to learn the language.
What kind
of food do they eat? What's their sort of social things going on? So you don't insult anybody, right?
Right.
That kind of thing, because who's going to want to hear whatever message you've got if you come in there and you're a giant butthead? Right?
Okay, unique way of saying it, but yes, I understand.
So So what we try to do, part and parcel, I mean, there's a lot that goes on in the week of the training, but, you know, a big underlying theme is just that. When you approach law enforcement, it's a culture. We are a unique sort of family. We sort of have a racial identity, if you will. It's our uniform. Well, we recognize the badge and the uniform on a guy, and that's one of our peeps, to use the street language, if you will.
Right.
You know, there's our own language. We've got 10 codes and signal codes and this and that. And, of course, you know, what we just sort of had to laugh about with, you know, the little quirky sayings we've got. We have our own rites and our own ceremonies, which, you know, some of them formal, some of them informal, that we go through. I mean, certainly the informal ones, we could probably have another whole kind of conversation about a little bit of rookie hazing and all that kind of stuff.
Right. Let's specify, just in case, and I know it seems silly, but rites as in R-I-T-E-S, ways of doing things and rites of passage, not rites like we have different rites from everybody else.
That's correct. Okay. Yeah, good clarification.
Continue on. Sorry to interrupt there.
Yeah, not at all. So you can see, you know, this whole thing, you know, it's a different view of policing, if you will, or it's a different understanding or trying to get a little deeper understanding of being a peace officer is what we sort of provide. So that's sort of the backdrop here of what's going on. And so he attended, Pastor DeWitt attended this training because he was beginning to, or he had been a little bit trying to work with the police department down there in Sanford as a chaplain.
Okay.
And he just wanted to be better at it. He wanted to serve the guys and gals doing the job down there. So come start training. So now we fast forward to the recent events. Gives me a call. And this is sort of how Peace Officer Ministries work. We really try to be a resource ministry. We've got sort of a network of guys out there that we might not talk with day to day, but, you know, a situation like this comes up and they give us a call. Or we might call them and say, hey, I see you right in that area. You've been to our training or you've supported our ministry or whatever. Hey, what's going on there? Is there anything we can help you with?
Now, isn't that indicative, and forgive me, I hope I don't get you off track, isn't that indicative of the warrior community in general? You know, I mean, I've been to places, I've been to Houston, I've been to St. Louis, I've been places in Ohio and California where I do presentations in Rhode Island, and it's really cool that out of the blue, 3 years later, I can call a guy and say, hey, dude, I've got this issue, it's in your area, can you help me out, can you deal with it? And like we've talked every day for the last 3 years, they say, of course I can, what you need, bro? Isn't that indicative of the warrior mentality in general?
It is, and this is why, you know, if I could do just a mini plug here, if you're a peace officer listening to this, I would invite you to come to our training. Now, you may think, well, I'm a peace officer. What do I need to go to, like, chaplain-type training for? Because you can kind of see where, you know, it's an extension of what you just described, if you will. And I've got officers and pastors and lay people that I've got this sort of connectedness that, like you described. So this guy calls me and, you know, we're connected. We begin to talk about what's going on.
Right.
He said, you know, he says, listen, here's some things our congregation is already doing for the community and it's specifically for peace officers here in Sanford for the department. So he kind of lays that out. And he says, we just feel like we need to do a little more right now because we're in the middle, you know, the stuff has hit the fan and we just, you know, as you know, the media is muddled. Put it nicely.
That's polite. I don't think muddled is a word I would use. I'd say targeted confusion that's intentional, but continue on.
Yes, that is the greater meaning. So
you're nicer than I am. It's one of the reasons you're a chaplain, Frank.
well, listen, you know, my wife, who is my adult supervision, also reminds me that, you know, of some, my sometimes sandpaper mouth, so I need to, you know,
there you go.
So
you were talking to this gentleman down in Florida.
Yes, and he's, you know, letting us know a few things we're doing. So I said the biggest thing that they need right now, because right now it's the middle of the case and the storm is circling around and to include the mopes that have come down to stir things up even further, what they need to hear is that the community, or at least a good portion of the community, dare I say it, the silent majority, supports them.
Right.
They need to hear it. They need to see it. You know, so they got. You know, it sounds so corny, but I'm telling you, I know I appreciated this from the police department, that his ladies group at his church cooked up a big old meal and took it down to the police department. You know, and just, hey, guys, we know it's tough out here. We know that, you know, all the donkeys are down here saying all the stupid stuff they're saying, but we care about what you do. We appreciate what you do, and we love you. and they did that kind of thing.
Very. Now, let's specify something here, because you use the term mopes and donkeys, and you're being very polite, not trying to insult anybody that comes down there and does things that you and I would both disagree with because they're so anti-law enforcement. We're not talking about people who went down to support civil rights in general, but people go down there just to stir the bucket and cause problems, right?
I am talking about people who, who they seem to always show up in the middle of these kinds of things before the facts are even out and try to shape the narrative with,
whatever purpose they want it to.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And are unhelpful. And frankly, they're guys who are in my current career field. Let's just go ahead and call it what it is. And that's what kills me the most, because I think they do more damage than good. And so it makes my job all the harder, if you will.
I feel you, as they say. So continue on. We're at our two-minute warning, so you got 2 minutes to the break. And we actually have a guest waiting to talk to us after the break, a chaplain, Lisa, who wants to talk to us when we come back from the break. So continue on.
Okay, so he called, we talking. Now, this was Easter. It was like I shared with you before. It was Palm Sunday, Easter week, that whole thing, very busy time as a pastor for us. So I talked to him about going down there and doing an initial assessment. So we worked it out, and one of my board members, who is a homicide detective with Greensboro, North Carolina Police Department, Chad Montgomery, we saddled up and went on down there to meet with the pastor down there, who's a chaplain.
Okay.
And so that's kind of how it started. Now, I don't know, since we're running against time here, maybe I should do the rest of that story as we hit the other side.
Probably, because we're under our one-minute mark. But I would like to – your website URL is peaceofficerministries.org?
That's correct.
Okay. And the training available linkage is all there, right?
Yes, and we're also on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, you know, facebook.com/peaceofficerministries.
Okay. We're under 30 seconds, Rev, so let's go to this break with one little tidbit. We called out Barry Beam and sung his praises. I'm going to call out Jerry Smith and see if I can get a chuckle out of you. Yeah, there it is. Our classes were always set alphabetically. You being a Rafato, you were farther to the back. Me being a Borelli, I was up front. And under 10 seconds to the break, I will tell you, I was one of Jerry Smith's favorite guinea pig punching bags.
I bet you were.
We're going to break, Frank. We'll be back.
All right, great.
Want to get your voice heard about law enforcement issues? This is your show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com. And we'll be back with more right after these. Are you happy with your life? Satisfied with the direction you're taking? More importantly, are you content with the results you're seeing? Then Success Profiles Radio is the program for you. Join host Brian K. Wright as he talks to experts in many areas relating to life success, including expertise in leadership, business, relationships, careers, networking, health, overcoming adversity, and much more. Each week, we'll explore different aspects of success and how to apply them to your life. For more on Brian and the show, check out his website, briankwright.com. Each week is a dose of inspiration. So many people live their lives wanting more than they currently have. Success Profiles Radio is a show that will clearly demonstrate the principle, if I can do it, you can do it. So don't miss this opportunity to take control of your life and your results. Success Profiles Radio with Brian K. Wright, Mondays at 5 p.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network.
This is Frank Borelli, editor for Officer.com. Join thousands of other law enforcement professionals attending Police Week, May 12th through the 17th, 2012, in Washington, D.C. The new Officer World Expo at Police Week will offer training, conference sessions, and networking opportunities to better equip those who protect others. Visit OfficerWorldExpo.com, because some records aren't meant to be broken.
Welcome back to Officer Radio, powered by the worldwide resources of Officer.com and hosted by editor-in-chief of Officer.com, 30-year law enforcement veteran Frank Borelli. Now, let's get back to the show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com.
All right, folks, good afternoon and welcome back. I am blessed at the moment in all of my political incorrect self to have two chaplains on the show at the moment. I heard that, Frank. Reverend Frank Rufato from PeaceOfficerMinistries.org and a young lady we have on the phone that I have been simply told is Chaplain Lisa. Our show producer actually asked me whether or not – hang on a second. Let me read this because it struck me as funny. How are the Lutherans with female chaplains? Because, Frank, you're from a Lutheran parish, so and we don't know Chaplain Lisa. I have no clue what your theological attachment is in that regard or however the proper way to say it is. So, Frank, how do you feel about Lutheran female chaplains? You're on the air and on the spot.
Wow, you did put me right on the spot. I will say this. There's a couple of stripes of Lutheran, like there are a couple of stripes of Baptists and Methodists and that kind of thing. I am from a little more conservative one. We have deaconesses, which can serve as chaplains. And so in that vein, I think in terms, certainly for law enforcement, that kind of thing, I think is perfectly appropriate. Of course, it's a whole other topic. We don't have time, Frank.
Okay, cool. Chaplain Lisa, how are you this afternoon, ma'am?
I am blessed. How are you, sir?
I'm good. You're a police chaplain, or are you a sworn police officer?
No, sir, I'm a sworn police chaplain. I am not an officer. My husband has been an officer for 26 years.
All right, Frank, her husband's got the gun, not her, so you can get away with what you just said, and I'm staying out of it.
I'm from Texas. Lisa, I carry, trust me. But
cool. I love that. Hey, Chaplain Lisa, thank you for calling in. What can we do for you today, ma'am?
Well, it goes along with the first question that you posed to Frank, which is normally the right question that I get predominantly every time I'm on scene or introduced, is the realm of females among chaplaincy. And it ranks among the same as females among clergy.
Okay.
But the benefit I've seen in the field since I've been a police chaplain, my husband and I have been involved in police ministry for several years with Bless the Badge Ministries here in Texas. But being at chaplaincy, there are a lot of unique situations where a female chaplain has an ability to reach where a male chaplain may not. And it also benefits in the family realm, which is a huge thing that we deal with, especially since we all know what the divorce rate is like among law enforcement,
mm-hmm.
What happens in the family among law enforcement. My husband and I have been married 23 years. So we
congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's quite a feat, and we're very proud of that.
I haven't reached 23 yet. Excuse me. That's because I'm on my second marriage. We won't go there right now.
I understand.
But let's point this out. This is kind of interesting. About 85% of law enforcement officers in the country today are male.
Yes.
That means there's an awful lot of spouses out there that might relate better to a female chaplain than a male chaplain. Is that
exactly
kind of the outlook you're espousing?
Exactly. Exactly. And we become more effective when it becomes to the family element, because a lot of the wives have someone they can reach out to or speak to that is directly related and can relate to their officers and their husbands in another realm, which another one cannot. I mean, we all know you guys talk among the guys and have your world, and us ladies do the same. So they're more apt to reach out or respond or get help from someone that's female, and then someone that also is related or married to an officer and living the life themselves, and then someone who can relate to their officer on the field, much less just in the home.
Ma'am, I'm not going to doubt anything you just said, but let me tell you, my wife and the way she talks to her friends, she would not talk that way in front of a female chaplain. Because she talks like a sailor, and I love her to death. But anyway.
You'd be surprised. Like I said, I'm a police chaplain, so yes, I have a lot of them. Excuse me, ma'am, pardon my language. And I have a lot of crusty old guys that I love with all my heart that could care less if I'm standing there or not. And I, in a way, I hate to say it, but I know I'll get judged for it, but I appreciate their acceptance of me being just among them. I don't want to be singled out. I don't want to be separated out. I want them to be comfortable enough to be able to tell me what they're thinking and what they're feeling, as raw and as ugly as that is.
Right, without filtering it. As my son says, I never knew so many people spoke French. Thank you very much for calling in and offering that, ma'am. We probably need to do a future show on female chaplains, and we can get Frank to come on as a guest, the Reverend come on as a guest, and play devil's advocate, if you will.
That would be sweet.
Outstanding. Send me an email, if you would, ma'am, frankborelli@officer.com. I'd appreciate it.
I will certainly do it. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Chaplain Lisa. So, Frank, you were Reverend Rufato. I'm not looking in the mirror. I'm talking to Reverend Rufato. We were talking about how you ended up down in Sanford.
Yeah, so just to kind of catch it up with that, we get down there, and here's where this training thing really comes into play, because this is, for me as a chaplain trying to serve guys, it's like what Lisa just said about wanting to sort of be permitted to be there with the guys and gals doing this job.
Right.
I mean, we look at it as an honor. Even though I'm a retired guy, I tell people, listen, I'm not a wannabe, I'm a has-been.
Right.
I'm just appreciative that you let me be here. So
do you find, I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt you. Do you find a greater acceptance as a retired officer than you think other chaplains do that have never been a police officer?
It's anecdotal. I can't, no empirical evidence.
That's all I'm asking for. It's just, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that yes, at least in the sense that as soon as I I'm able to sort of show my retired badge, and then we share a couple of war stories. That sort of wall of distrust that we normally have as peace officers comes down a little bit. They'll at least give me a hearing, and you know how, having done the job, there's always ones out there that are just hard cases.
Right.
They're not going to do it no matter what you do. But I have found that it's been helpful. At least guys are like, oh, okay, this isn't some wingnut squirrel just coming in here.
Right. So you got down there, you got the door open.
Yes, and what's amazing about getting the door open is Chaplain DeWitt, Pastor DeWitt, shared with me, because I've been working with this department for about 3 years and made a little bit of headway and, this and that going on, but suddenly this crisis erupts and suddenly he's in the middle of it. And when we get down there, he had told the command staff, hey, I got these guys coming down, they're a resource to help out, to be here for guys, et cetera. Open arms. We come in there. In fact, they gave us a pass key to the department, full access to the department. And the reason I bring this up and I think it's neat is because you know how security is. People just don't get into buildings.
Right. No, I mean, it's a closed community, but when you look at the department, it's a closed family. And for the family head, if you will, the chief of police, to give you that kind of access is very unique.
Yes, and it showed, I encourage chaplains, that is why I encourage chaplains to persevere, because we have, that 3 years of building trust came through in crisis. And so that trust was tested, and he, we were able to come in there. And so we come in, we meet with the, now it was kind of unique, because as you know, the whole political situation, the chief had stepped down temporarily.
Right.
Whatever that might mean. And so we had a couple of captains that were running the show, and we met with both of those guys, and actually part of this is, I offer the services, there to be, to counsel, to listen, to commiserate, to, whatever it is their need is, and yes, to pray with them. Some guys ask for that. Some guys appreciate it. I offer that to the command staff, too. They have their unique pressures. I mean, I know the grunts and the, or as we used to say, the gray shirts and the white shirts for our department, there
right.
might be a little bit of a thing there. But they do have some unique pressures because they're facing some of the politics that the grunts don't necessarily have to. That makes sense.
And let me tell you something. Having made it to the rank of lieutenant, people really can't fully appreciate the politics. And sergeants and lieutenants, depending on the size of the agency, they're kind of the first line of filter where all the political stuff stays above them so that they're protecting the guys that have got to, the ladies and gentlemen, they've got to do the work on the street, and they don't get the stresses of that political BS. It can be trying is, I guess, the best way to say it. It can be very stressful.
Yes, and so with all that in mind, we offered ourselves to them as well. And so kind of started there and trickled down. Actually, we did sort of, let's say I got a call to be in a church down there and I wanted to start being a chaplain down there, I kind of did the same thing. We went on a little bit of ride along with the squad that was working that day work shift just to kind of get to know guys, let them know why we're here, what's going on. And, of course, no obligation. We made it clear to the guy, to the command staff, we're here as a resource for you, but we don't want you to order anybody to come in. Don't make anybody ride along. We're just offer it to guys.
Right.
Because you know as well as I do, the minute you tell a guy, well, listen, you have to take that ride along, you have to do that, he's going to close up.
Yeah, you turn him off. Yeah.
Right. Now, to their credit, the guys were pretty open, and there was a few that were hesitant. But we get to ride with you. In fact, it's funny. I laughed with my wife when I got home. I go with one guy, and he's got a equivocal death scene I end up on, and so I end up helping, throwing the gloves on and helping him move the body and do some of the stuff. And I thought to myself, I thought I got out of this.
Yeah, you were retired. You shouldn't be doing this anymore.
but on the other hand, again, it's that trust factor. They trusted me as because we did get to share a little bit, and when I shared I'd been in homicide, we talked a little bit about what was going on as we headed out to the scene, and they appreciated it. They needed an extra set of hands, and I went, I'll be glad to if you want me to, and I was able to. Not every chaplain's going to get to do that, but if you do, and this is a little tidbit for the chaplains listening out there, watch for opportunities to be real service. Now, you might say, hey, I'll be glad to help, and they might turn to you and go, yeah, no, just stand over there. And just go, okay, that's what I'll do.
Right.
Yeah,
you can't bull your way in, but if the door's open and you can't hesitate to step through it either.
That's right. And for chaplains, remember, we're there to serve. And so I was looking to help him. He was trying to deal with one of the family members, friends and family members, getting some information and all that. And so, it enabled him to continue to do what he needed to do as I helped some of the other guys on the scene do that stuff.
Right.
You're not always going to get to do that. Now, one of the things we do in our training, I have set up a whole thing about crime scene awareness for the chaplain. And so we walk you through, we kind of do a mini evidence class, and then we walk you through a mock crime scene and have you do a little, not the actual processing, but we sort of set up actually a little scenario for you to try to figure out what's going on, just so you can sort of get in the head of the officers a little bit, what they're dealing with.
Okay. We're at our 1 minute warning before our next break. When we come back, and I don't know how much more you have to share from Sanford, but I want to spend a little time talking about requirements as you see them to be a police chaplain. And I don't know if you heard me say at the beginning of the show, at one point I had asked to step into the role of being a chaplain, and I did not feel comfortable enough with my own faith to be sharing it with other people. And we can discuss that more. I kind of look at chaplains as people whose faith is so strong they have enough to support themselves plus. And mine certainly wasn't there. So I want to talk about that when we get back, the requirements. And then
you want me to be a MythBuster, in other words.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. maybe it's just you're going to kick me in the head virtually or something, but we'll find out. So when we come back from break, we'll whatever you got left on Sanford and then some of the requirements. So listeners, stay with us. Chaplain Lisa, if you're still listening, please don't forget to send me an email. This is Officer Radio on Officer.com, and we will be right back.
Want to get your voice heard about law enforcement issues? This is your show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com. And we'll be back with more right after these.
This is Frank Borelli, editor for Officer.com. 152. The number of law enforcement fatalities in 2010. The numbers are too high. Any line of duty death is unacceptable. Join us in Washington, D.C. next year during National Police Week at the first ever Officer World Expo as we combine a unique training opportunity with the largest police memorial in the United States. Visit OfficerWorldExpo.com for details and to join the mailing list, Officer World Expo, because some records aren't meant to be broken.
Homeschooling? Have questions? Get your pen and paper ready. It's the sociable homeschooler, Vivian McNinney. Fridays at 5, 4 Central on TogiNet.com. After a handsome blue-eyed Texan fell in love with Vivian at the Victoria Station in London, she found herself at DFW Airport with a tiny suitcase and a snazzy little duffel bag. Well, 25 years later, she is now happily married to that blue-eyed cowboy. They have 4 grown children, ages 24 to 18, who became willing guinea pigs when she unwittingly stumbled upon the world of homeschooling. Wildflower Academy flourished for 15 years. They survived and thrived, and you can too. Vivian will be covering a wide range of issues that face homeschoolers. What do you do with kids in the summer? How to set up your one-room schoolhouse? How obedience is paramount? And what to do with those snakes? Plus, you'll be sharing ideas and insights that she gleaned from other homeschoolers. So join us for an engaging hour with the sociable homeschooler, Vivian McNinney. Friday afternoons at 5, 4 Central on TogiNet.com. Welcome back to Officer Radio. powered by the worldwide resources of Officer.com and hosted by Editor-in-Chief of Officer.com, 30-year law enforcement veteran Frank Borelli. Now, let's get back to the show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com.
Good afternoon again, listeners. Well, I guess it's afternoon. For those of you on the West Coast, good morning still. But for everybody else, good afternoon, listeners. Welcome back. Reverend Rufato, what do you have left to share with us about Sanford, Florida, sir?
Well, one thing I do want to say, you know, we met some consummate professionals down there in Sanford, Florida. I don't want there to be any impression because we went down there and it was a stressful situation that we had a bunch of basket cases running around there. At the same time, there was real stress. And my hope is to do some follow-up to go down there because there were a few that were still a little hesitant to open up. That's natural. But some of the guys that are hesitant are some of the ones that need it the most.
Now let's identify something. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but this stress, I mean, as much as it comes from the politics and everything else, a lot of the stress that those officers must have felt see if I can articulate this. When you're breaking your back, doing the best job you can do in compliance with state laws, constitutional laws, protocols, training, department SOPs, everything, and you're seeing absolutely positively not only zero appreciation but heavy criticism for it, even for something that you weren't involved in, simply by association, that's not something any human being in the world likes to deal with. I mean, that causes stress on everybody.
Well, I got to tell you, it's – you know, even I discovered early on in my career, you know, the an officer's road, it's littered with landmines, there's barriers and detours, both, you know, on the job and off, that kind of thing. You know, it's like the old saying goes, and I'm sure you've heard this, Frank, you know, we'd be fine if all we had to worry about were the bad guys.
Yeah, no kidding.
But the bad guys are only part of the problem. And so that's where a chaplain can sort of also be a little buffer, just like you were talking about a lieutenant or a sergeant being a little bit of that. You know, a chaplain can too, at least, you know, to be able to, in a healthy way, vent how you need to vent, you know, so that you can, you know, we talked about marriage here, you know, my 25th is coming up in June, and I can tell you, not because I'm a great guy, I can tell you that right now, you know.
Okay, because your wife is a saint, is that what you're saying?
Well, listen, she certainly is, but also the whole, the faith aspect, the sort of getting a little bit of grasp on, you know, reality with a view on understanding being a peace officer is a calling from God. Okay. And that you are God's servant for our good, for society's good. You're not a necessary evil. You're a necessary good in the face of evil. And that's where the frustration comes, because even officers get that muddled in their minds a little bit because of what you just described.
You know, it's hard to feel like you're doing anybody any good when everybody's complaining about everything you're doing.
That's right. Listen, I've been in two career fields now where people have no problem telling you exactly how you should do your job, even though they have no clue themselves.
It's always a beautiful thing. I wonder if politicians feel that way, but we'll leave that alone. Anything else about Sanford? I do want to talk about what you view as requirements to be a chaplain.
Yeah, let me just finish out with this. I am appreciative of Detective Montgomery from Greensboro, North Carolina, who came down with me. He was vital in helping. Great, strong guy of faith, too, who was able to kind of help in that. And just that, you know, we were able in that short time to do a little bit of good, and we're hoping for the follow-up. And I just appreciate what the guys down there had to go through, where they're at, and I'll end with this. We did get to meet the squad who worked the night of the shooting. You know, we shared with them, you know, as you know, Frank, we've got a specialty Bible that we produce.
Yes.
And we shared some of those with the folks who wanted them. And just, I just shared with them a little bit, listen, sort of, I know what you know, what I know that you know. And we loved you and appreciate you. I'd like to think that went a long way.
And I'm hope so. And if any of them are listening, then I'm sure you'll hear from them and know. But if you do a follow-up, you'll get the indications then as well. I mean,
right.
You know, there's some people police officers just never want to see coming around. It's never good when IA shows up on a scene. It's never good when the micromanaging captain shows up on a scene.
Mm-hmm.
When a chaplain shows up, it's never bad. You just don't know if it's going to be good till after they've opened their mouth and you've started interacting with them. I think that's kind of how a lot of road cops feel. I could be completely off base.
No, what a great segue into what requirements are, I think. Okay. That is the key. You know, a chaplain does want to go in there and be – you don't want to go, oh, gosh, it's that guy or that gal. You know, you want it to be, oh, hey, look, the chaplain's here. How you doing, Chappie, or whatever, you know, guys do in terms of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be somebody you welcome to your scene, but and I guess you're talking about personality requirements or people skills?
I'm talking about both. I want to go back, and I know it's like kicking a dead horse here, but it's that whole training aspect, understanding law enforcement as culture. I think that's key. You know, Lisa, who called us, does have an advantage that her husband's been in law enforcement so long. She does have an understanding of that, so that does give her a little bit of, you know, she has an appreciation for the stresses and the things that we've talked about here. But that doesn't mean you can't be a chaplain just because you've never been in police work before.
Well, I had opportunity a few years back. I was at a counterterrorism, anti-terrorism conference thing down in Virginia Beach, and I was standing talking to two chaplains. One was a retired Virginia State trooper, noted chaplain, a guy named Don Staten, absolutely fantastic guy, close personal friend, love him to death. This man faces challenges every day, and his faith in God is strong enough to support him, his family, and the entire community he serves. I was standing there right there beside him was a gentleman who's never been a police officer ever in his life, was a police chaplain for Norfolk. Both of them great guys. But even looking at him as a police officer, I thought, I have to look at my own prejudices, and I gave Chaplain Staten more credibility simply because he'd worn the badge and done the job.
Right, right.
You know, it's when we talk about requirements, I mean, is it – obviously it's not a requirement – but it goes a long way. Is that a good way to say it?
I would say that, yeah. And it goes back to that question you asked me about, hey, have you found that it's helped? And it has. I think, you know, for people, you know, maybe if you're a pastor out there or even a layperson who thinks, well, man, my pastor's a great guy and he might be good at this because he's helped me or whatever, so he might be a good chaplain. The thing is training. If you can get training, and I know not just the – to put mine out there, but, you know, there's others out there too, but get that cultural understanding. I do have and this is sort of a personal thing with me, I prefer that you be recognized by a recognized body, that you're ordained, licensed, commissioned, whatever your body calls it, as opposed to I'm just Joe Blow, layperson coming in doing this.
Let me ask you something, and I'm going to interrupt you there and ask you this, because that was my situation. I'm not – the closest I've ever come is being an acolyte in an Episcopalian church, okay?
Well, all right, let me make clear. You can have strong faith. You don't have to be – my faith is not any stronger just because I'm in the clergy. I just happen to be called to do this special thing for the people of God, if you will. Okay?
But maybe you're in the clergy because you're of stronger faith, Frank. When I was invited – to be the chaplain, and it was our FOP lodge. We hadn't had a chaplain for a couple of years. Our president happened to look at me one day and something I had done or was doing, and he said, hey, would you consider being our chaplain? And it was a great compliment. I was very honored that he'd even consider me worthy of it, but I didn't feel that my faith was strong enough that I could support others in need of bolstering in their faith or comforting in their faith or however you want to look at it. I just didn't feel was strong enough that I could give it to other people. I've never been anywhere close to being ordained, haven't studied theology. I mean, I went to a Baptist school for 3 years, and that was kind of close, and a Catholic school for 3 years, and that was kind of close. But that's as good as it gets where Frank Borelli's concerned. If I went out and attended all the training and brought the right heart to it, could I be a decent police chaplain? And you smack me in the head virtually now.
I think that there is opportunity for that. But you do have to be ready to have your mind changed about the law enforcement culture, whatever your preconceptions might be, if you're quote an outsider. Secondly,
definitely.
You have to you definitely have to be. I can tell you this is much like when I was a police officer. You do have to be prepared to take criticism, and you got to have a thick skin. And these are also personality things, and this gets a little bit of a way. I prefer ordained because I know that you're going to have to have been through a seminary or something where you've got training theologically. I have found with police officers, I try not to force what my particular beliefs are on a guy. Now, if it comes up in a conversation, and you know we have a good common friend who we met at his retirement,
yeah.
who I had lots of conversations with because the door was open, and I'm willing and ready to have that conversation. I'm not going to force it on anybody. On the other hand, I'm not also going to compromise what my position is. So I definitely do not believe in some sort of flavorless oatmeal approach, you know, let's all just have a big hug thing.
You're not a kumbaya minister?
No.
Okay.
No. God talks to us in his law and his gospel. He's got good news and bad news for us. And if we look in the mirror, we know what the bad news is, right? I mean, listen, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? Well, not me.
Yeah, that's true. I've been told I had the perfect face for radio.
Well, and I'm talking about, of course, our inner being, if you will.
I know. I had to lighten the moment, Frank. Sorry.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, now we're starting to step into a realm where I get a little animated, too, because, you know, I've had I guess what I'm going to get at, you need to have some training in that area so that you can speak when the opportunity arises. Now, so somebody can have faith and not have gone to seminary and be able to articulate their faith. You don't have to have that.
Right.
But in terms of a professional status, getting the trust of officers, I think somebody who comes in and gives some sort of flavorless oatmeal, middle of the road, you know, this or that kind of thing, I think is going to have a harder time with police officers. I think I have found that police officers, even guys who would call themselves atheists or agnostics or some other faith that's not of the Christian variety, at least have had respect, at least to my faith, as we have talked, because I'm clear about who I am. And I think,
and you know what? Because you don't come across as a snake oil salesman trying to sell them something, that's why.
Well, yes, and that's important. That's all part of the training that we do, all part of the understanding the culture and all that, too. And so, guys, I think have had a better appreciation. They know where I'm coming from, even if they disagree. I mean, I think officers see enough of the grayness of the world that, they know BS. Their BS meters are finely tuned.
Right. They like that you don't whiffle waffle. I can appreciate that. But now that I've got you all animated and worked up, I have to cut you off because we have like 30 seconds left in the show.
Okay.
So I want to thank you for being with us today. You and I need to have a conversation because, like you had with our friend, I want to sit down and have those conversations with you. I love having those kinds of conversations. Thank you for being with us. This is Reverend Frank Raffato from peaceofficerministries.org. Go look it up. Excellent, excellent tailored Bible for public safety, for law enforcement specifically, and go follow their training. This is Officer Radio on Officer.com coming to end today, but we will be back next week. Stay safe until then.
Thank you for being a part of Officer Radio, powered by the worldwide resources of Officer.com. And hosted by Editor-in-Chief of Officer.com, 30-year law enforcement veteran Frank Borelli. Each week, Officer Radio.